100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom!
To VertK Radio, iHeartRadio, this is Get Your Business Right Show with Michael Muse. You know who I am? I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach. Because guess what? Overcoming your fears is not an option. And I'm excited today because we have someone who was taking coaching and personal development by storm. I'm here to tell you, this young lady here is making it happen. And you know where we're at right now. We're on VertK Radio, coming straight out of New York City. This is all about the power of women. And so I'm here to tell you that if you want to get in contact with me, you can text me at 5885, right, R-I-G-H-T. That's text 5885, R-I-G-H-T. And guess, ladies and gentlemen, I am so grateful and thankful because when you decide to be an inspiration in life, and I hope this show is an inspiration to you, because I want to thank each and every one of listeners on just listening and just sharing, because without you, there is no me. And so today, I have a young lady who is definitely about to share some powerful things because she is a powerful person. So let me introduce you to Ms. Kelani Haddon.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate that introduction. That's very nice. I didn't know all those nice things about myself. No, thank you. No, that's really great. And I appreciate you inviting me here with this opportunity.
Absolutely. And one thing about being a coach and being someone who helps in relationships, there's always a beginning to all these things here.
Yeah.
And so I want to go early on because I am a true advocate that a lot of the things in our behavior, a lot of the behavior traits, a lot of the methodology on how we do things, number one, it comes from how we were raised and just adopting those principles and philosophies coming up. And also, how do we deal with the adversity along the way, even as a child? So let's start in childhood. What did you learn about as you was a child? What were some of the biggest lessons about relationships that you learned?
That's a good question. So one of the biggest things I've learned about relationships as a child is that marriage is important, and it affects the kids. When you get a divorce, it affects the kids. My dad was very strong. My mom was very submissive. She was old school. She was one of the, what they call, homemakers, and she took care of us. And dad went and, you know, he made the money, paid the bills. It did end the divorce because I saw in my family that, you know, they were kind of a little bit unequally yoked. You know, then my dad, you know, my mom didn't really get to have her own career.
Yes.
And things like that. And she depended on him a lot. So my mom said to me when I was little, she's like, honey, you know, when they were getting divorced and stuff, make sure you go to college, make sure you make your own money, because you don't want to be in a situation where if your husband breaks up with you or leaves you, you don't have anything to fall back on. So I think a lot of black women follow that, and a lot of women are teaching their children that, but they're not teaching their men that sometimes nowadays, you know what I'm saying? They're focused on the women so much.
Absolutely.
And it's a trickle-down effect. But I think that that's very important that you do that, but you also stay submissive when you get that man in your life, so you don't push him away. So that's kind of what I learned as a child.
And what age were you when your parents divorced?
15.
15.
I remember explicitly. I remember running out the house, running to my uncle's house, like, oh my God, you know, they're breaking up and everything. Hurt really bad. But I made sure I saw both my parents, you know.
That's excellent. And were you in a typical situation where you blamed one parent over the other when it came to the divorce, or did you, where were you at mentally going through that process?
You know what, I ended up staying with my mom because the marriage ended in infidelity. So I stayed with my mom, but I made sure I visited my dad, because at the end of the day, children have to realize that when their parents break up, they're not breaking up with the kids.
Exactly.
they're breaking up with each other, something didn't work out. So that's one of the reasons I make sure that I do relationship coaching, because, you know, relationships can go awry. You want to make sure you pick the right person out the gate, you know.
And so let me ask you this here. So, of course, being 15, you were beyond the puberty age.
Yes, yes, yes. And but you, I was still.
And you, I mean, of course, you had a likeness to boys and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, when you did start relationships,
yeah,
how did your parents divorce? How did that play a part in you starting your life and beginning to like boys, like men? And how did that play a part in your decision making on having a boyfriend and choosing a mate?
You know, when I was 15, I was in a relationship, and I don't think it really had too much of an effect on me getting in a relationship. You know, I was already in a long-term relationship, but I think it had an effect on my trust on men. I think it did have. Definitely was hard for me to trust. I was one of those women during my marriage to be like, you know, where are you going? Where you at? You know, why you didn't call me back? Why you didn't text me in 15 minutes when I text you? You know, so I went through that. And I think a lot of women can, and men as well, you know, go through
absolutely,
that. You
yes.
know, you didn't text me back. I just texted you 15 minutes ago and you didn't text me back, you know, type situation. So, yeah, I had some of that.
Well, that's amazing right there. So definitely you got into that spot where you was insecure,
mm-hmm.
and you needed that validation of, hey, I need you to respond to me right now.
Yeah, 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 been there.
So at what point in time did you realize that that insecurity could be destructive to relationship?
Well, when I became a relationship coach, I started in 2012, was actually watching Trent Shelton, and I was going through a terrible divorce, and watching him help me to get through my relationship. And he started out, he was like, you know what, I'm going to do relationship coaching as a rehab for myself, but it helped others, you know. That's why he did the rehabbers. But I started on my journey as well as a relationship coach. So I've been doing this for 6 years online on YouTube and Facebook, and it's been a wonderful thing for my listeners and for me. But that's why I started doing that, and it helped me to understand the basis of what you need in a relationship. And that's where I learned to trust, because I said and also I watched Tyler Perry, Why Did I Get Married, and he talked about I'm gonna work this word trust, and you know, trust was a big thing. And so trust is the first thing. You have to be able to trust the other person, or you're going to run them away. And I have a video on that. Are you pushing him away? Trust, love, that's called a TLRHCP. Trust, love, because, and honesty. Trust, love, respect, and honesty. Because in order to get trust, you have to have honesty on the other side. Because it used to be just trust, love, and respect is what I came up with at first. You have to have trust, love, and respect. Because when you love someone, you respect them.
Yes.
I mean, you trust somebody, it's easier to love them, you know, and you don't have all that back and forth. But one of my friends and I were talking, and they were like, you know what? I was like, you know what? You want me to trust you, like an ex-boyfriend. You want me to trust you, but you're not honest. How can I trust you? Because they were like, trust me, trust me, trust me. How can I trust you if you're not being honest? You know, men sometimes, or women, or usually men, you got to trust me. You got to trust me. I'm not trusting you if you're not being honest. So at the same time, on one end, you got trust. On the other end of the spectrum, you got honesty.
Right.
You know, so those are the things that are important.
So let's take us back to, being married and getting a divorce. So you made the decision to become a relationship coach after your divorce, right?
Yes.
And you know, hate that you had to get a divorce, but I'm a true believer in, especially my background, because I had a heart attack, seizure, and kidney failure all at the same time.
Wow.
And so one of the things I try to really expound upon people is that you really have to look at your pain, because a lot of times the pain that you've been through, that's leading you to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, like you said, you going through the painful divorce, it positioned you, and you, the one thing you said you wanted to have therapy for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so the process you having therapy for yourself, you know, you're helping other people in the process.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's about. And even if I wake up in the morning, say my world is all wrong, it's upside down, things aren't going right, trying to figure out how to pay the bills, whatever it may be, the situation may be. The thing about a motivational speaker, even Les Brown, you know, he actually, you know, slept in his office for a period of time. You know, we go through things just like everyone else. But at the same time, as a motivational speaker, our task is to make somebody else happy.
Yes.
To make them wake up and say, you know what? I'm going to live today to the best of my ability. I'm going to have the best day ever. Like that song out that they have now with Lil Duval. You know, I'm living my best life. Look, you know, I'm going to wake up today, no matter what happened yesterday or in the future, I'm living my best life today. So if I have an effect on one person, I've done my job.
You know, we need applause. Hold on, just a second. We need applause for that one.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'd like to thank my mother. I'd like to thank God. No, I'm just
kidding. And, yeah, that is so, so important. That is so important. So that definitely, like you said, definitely gave you the purpose.
Yeah.
And so where did you, I mean, people, a lot of people are becoming coaches today. So how, when you made the decision, you say, you know what, I know I need help. Because I did the same thing, too, for me. Once I got my divorce, a little less than a year after my divorce, that's when I had my health crisis. With all, I call it the trifecta of purpose. It took all three of those things at the same time to lead me to what God needed me to do. And so, in order to help people, and so for you, some people coaching, they get certified. Who did you get certified through? And
I think it was Universal Online. I got certified through them in May of 2016. The reason why is because there are a lot of coaches out there that are doing it and doing it well. That sound like LL Cool J, okay? But
doing it well.
But you know, doing, you know, there are a lot of great coaches that are doing a great job. But yes, what I wanted to do was to actually get a certification, and it's not required in Michigan to have a certification for motivational speaking. I actually looked into it when I was actually in a marriage. I was like, I wanted to get into motivational speaking, because since I was little, when I would do presentations, like when I was in fifth grade, I did a presentation. I was like, whoa, this is where I want to be. But I went into business, you know.
Okay.
And so
you love motivational speaking.
I love motivational speaking, but it just came back. Really, I really wanted to get into the relationship coaching when, you know, with Trent, when I had the, you know, when I saw Trent Shelton and had the divorce. But I really, I really like doing it. You know, I just, I would do it whether I was getting paid or not. It's just the more.
Well, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot right
okay.
now.
All right.
This is your stage for the next minute and a half. Inspire the world. Go.
Well, you know, whatever you're going through, I just want to say that you can make it another day, and you just have to seize the day. Whatever happened yesterday, that's in the past, and if you think about it too much, it'll create depression, and if you worry too much about the future, you know, it's going to create anxiety. So just focus on what you can do today. Get your goals set for the week or the year, and then see what you can do today to meet your goals and make something happen today. Every day, put something on your calendar that's going to get you closer to your goals, and seize the day and just do the best and be your best in your relationships, in life, and, you know, focus on goals for your mind, body, soul, finances, and I would start there, and you know, you'll be okay. You're gonna be all right.
Gotta get applause for them right there. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Thank you kindly.
Absolutely. Yeah. You took us there, and so that's so important, because motivation is, people ask, why is it so important? Because it's just like taking a bath. Mm-hmm. It's just like brushing your teeth. Something.
I don't do that. No, I'm just kidding.
You know you something else. Let me go get some soap right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Grandma.
You got to wash, son, right?
Let me go ahead and wash your mouth all right now.
Give me a wet nap. I do wet naps. I go to KFC, give me a bunch of wet naps. I don't take showers and baths. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, of course, I take a shower every day.
Absolutely. But that's how motivation is. We need it every day. Mm-hmm. Because there are so many different challenges. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I talk about in my book, one chapter is called A Thousand Things. Mm-hmm. Because there are a thousand different things that's distracting us and pulling us from our purpose and from the divine will that we should be constantly working to perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so all distractions coming our way, we have to be able to focus on that one thing.
Yeah.
That's going to allow us to develop, like you say, our mind, body, and soul.
Right.
And if we're not putting our mindset in that position, we're really at a very disadvantage. And so I like the fact you said you wouldn't get the certification. And so...
Yeah, that's important to get it. In Michigan, you don't need a certification, to my point. But like, you don't need a certification, but I just got my certification to make sure everybody knew. You know, I'm not just out here talking. I've been researching.
Not here willy-nilly.
I've had the classes. I know the basis, and I know how to research it.
So what you're saying is... what you're saying is you're not just saying God gave me the vision.
Right.
God spoke to me to speak to you. God said, get up and don't turn back. God said, you can do all things through him who gives you
strength. Which strengthens me. You know? Yeah. Definitely.
And so, of course, that's a great thing in doing that. And so, in helping some of your clients, give us some examples of things you've done of the outcome for some of your clients.
Well, I had a cousin, you know, that I talked to, and you know, I was telling her, like, some relationships, you know, people get back together. She went through a divorce and everything, and after talking to her, you know, we just chatted, you know, just, you know, talking about relationships. It wasn't like, at the time, I didn't really charge her, you know, just like, because she's my cousin, you know. But I basically just, you know, coached her and, you know, like, hey, you can get that back. You know what I'm saying? I think that in talking to some of my clients, the ones that are like, have 50-year marriages, the thing that kept them together was that they made it through the hard times. You know, so many people are like, oh, I saw him at the club with another girl. As soon as your best friend, I saw him with another girl. Girl, you should break up with him. And she's single. She don't want you to have no man anyway.
Uh-oh.
So y'all can go out more. And then you go to him. Oh, she got a picture of you at the club. Who is Miss Whistytail or whatever? And then you break up, you know, instead of going to your mate and praying and saying, you know what? This happened. I know you're human. I'm human. I've probably actually... been at the club with a guy too, probably had him buy me a drink and said, you know what, I'm in a relationship, thanks for the drink, I gotta go, you know. But we don't talk and communicate and pray together. But those, you know, couples, they say, you know, couples that play together stay together, and those that pray together stay together, those that communicate, love, respect each other, stay together, they get through the hard times. You know, even some that have gotten through or been through infidelity can make it work. However, the caveat is that person has to be very apologetic and get some type of help. Like, I'm sorry, if you just cheated, go get some help. Go talk to your pastor or life coach. Go talk to Lonnie.
That's right.
Go talk to Lonnie.
Lonnie, I want to talk to you right now. Can you help me?
Sure. That'd be $50.
I haven't touched no one, but I've been cheating in my mind.
I hear that. Yeah, people cheat in their mind all the time because, you know what? We are visual creatures. We are visual creatures. We see a lot of people that we like during the day, and a woman will flip out. You sitting outside having dinner in front of a restaurant, and a pretty girl walks by, like on a Bobby Valentino video, and he's all looking at her tail and hind parts and all that, and you like, what you looking at? He's human. He's a man. But it is disrespectful to keep looking. You can be like, and then right back at you, like, I saw her.
So what you're saying is...
because she saw him, too. She probably wanted to look and didn't.
So it's supposed to be the one come walk past right now. Just use me and you for example.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to look and don't look again and keep the conversation going.
Exactly.
I'm not
totally...
Ooh.
Yeah, no, you... Ooh. Yeah. You done turned your head, broke your neck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, honey, can I get you a neck brace? Because you just got some whiplash looking at that butt. You know, behind or whatever. But, you really, we have to be a little bit more forgiving because we do it too. You know what I'm saying? As women, if we see a nice guy with some muscles and all this or whatever shape you are into, you know, you see him, you're like, oh, he's nice looking, you know, bald head, all that.
What?
Well, don't do it now. Uh-oh. Don't watch yourself. Uh-oh. No, don't watch out there now. No, but we have to understand that we're not perfect. Everybody wants to think they're perfect, but we're not perfect. Nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody's perfect.
We expect our mates to be perfect.
And I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the things I get asked all the time in coaching people and just giving out advice is that when you look for that mate, mm-hmm. you need to look at who they are through and through mm-hmm. and ask yourself one question. And that question is this.
What's that?
Are they worth suffering for?
Mm.
And if mm-hmm. the answer is emphatically no, keep it moving. Because guess what? There is someone. Do they flaws and all? Follow me now.
Flaws and all. Right, that's right.
That's right. They're worth it.
Yeah.
Because when people have a certain level, let me keep it real, a deep level of humility.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
See, I could work with someone when they have humility.
Oh, yeah.
Because irregardless of what they're going through, mm-hmm. they want to do better and be better.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to get stuck.
Right.
In a way of thinking that could be destructive to them or who they claim they love.
Okay. Yeah, I think that, you know, when you're in love with someone, you got flaws too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has flaws and insecurities. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You can love yourself, and self-love is one very big thing, and I want to do a video on that, you know, on my YouTube and Facebook, but I haven't got to it, but I always say the first thing to do before you do anything, before you set goals, before you get into a relationship, is a self-evaluation. Know who you are, you know, so that goes along with the self-love, but at the same time, you have to know your weaknesses. I talk about strengths and weaknesses. You have to know your strengths. At the same time, I got a weakness, but how do I make that into a strength?
Exactly.
Now, if I can turn my weakness into a strength through training or whatever the situation may be, however you turn your weakness, like if I use the analogy in basketball, you know, if I got a weakness and I can make it into a strength, but if I'm 4 foot and I want to play basketball, I'm probably not going to go pro. I can play basketball. But my goal is not to be going into the NBA unless they can make a little people basketball team. You know what I'm saying? So those are strengths. Those are weaknesses that you cannot change.
Yeah.
And that's all about attitude. If it's something you can't change, you just accept it. And you say, you know what? I'm 4 foot, but I'm cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm 5'3", hey, and I might not be a 5'9" model or whatever, but hey, I'm cute.
You are cute.
I'm darn cute.
Am I God's
cute?
Bless
Lord
you.
Lord Jesus, in the glory! Name of Jesus.
He didn't bless you.
Oh, no, the mirror ain't lying.
He
no, I'm saying, Lord Jesus. It's the makeup. No, yeah.
And so when you, with all the things that you've accomplished and with the self-development that you've had to work on yourself
mm-hmm.
and to get to the place you are at, what's the one character flaw that you've worked on and you've seen do a 360-degree turn?
Character flaw?
Mm-hmm.
I used to be very controlling.
What?
Oh, my God. And I'm still working on listening.
You said controller? Oh, you got my arm. Let go. Let me go. I'm just teasing.
Get on this flow. He didn't show you something. No, I was kidding.
So you was controlling, huh?
Yeah. I think that during my marriage, because, you know, I talk about when people split up.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people, they always say, well, he cheated on me. He did this. That's true. And that's not right for any situation. I don't care what happened. I don't care if you, you know, kick the person in the face. If you're going to be with somebody else, you should break up with them. Have the respect, have the character to break up with them before, you know, so you won't cheat.
Yes.
I think it's wrong. However, it's fixable, you know what I'm saying, if the person is apologetic and will get some help, you know. But I think that you have to look at what you did as well. Because at one point, the love was going well, both were doing well, and things were going right. And at some point, this person wanted to cheat. Why did they feel like the relationship wasn't enough? You know, so then I have to look at, okay, maybe I was a little bit controlling. Maybe You know, because we were unequally yoked, I had to control him a lot. I picked the wrong person. That's my fault. Therefore, next time going into a relationship, I need to pick the right person. I shouldn't have to yell at you 4 and 5 times to pick your underwear off the floor, keep your unmentionables off the floor and stuff like that, right. You know. And I'm not saying that's what happened in my relationship. That was not the situation. But, you know, it is you want to be equally yoked so, you know, you don't have to yell and, you know, be, you know, and you seem like that type of person in your relationships as well. You don't seem like you would be with anybody that's gonna, that you have to yell at, you know, or anything like that. Like, that. I raise my kids.
I will leave you before I get upset. And this is what I learned from one of my mentors a long time ago. He said, if you're dealing with a woman, if you get to the point where you get out of character, and you get angry to the point where you want to put your hands on her or curse her out, it's better for you to get rid of that kingdom. Kill that kingdom off.
Yeah, yeah.
Build you another castle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't believe you should stay in an abusive relationship.
And we're not even talking about physical. We're just speaking on verbal
abuse.
Psychological. Because really,
yeah.
Let's be truthful about it.
Yeah.
Verbal and psychological, the damage long outlasts the effects of the physical.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah, I didn't think about it like that. You're right. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah,
you could punch me in the eye, and I could get a black eye. Not too much you could do. Not
put a nice
black
big steak on it. Dude. Yeah, do the Fred Flintstone. Yeah.
And guess what?
Ooh.
In 2 weeks, it's healed.
Yes.
And I done forgave you. Mm-hmm. But you can call me a lion dog, MF, this, that's and that. That has crushed me for the rest of my life until I confront.
Amen, brother. Yes, yes, I agree.
Yeah. And so we have to get to that place where we really, in relationships and life, really take a handle on who we are, what we say, and understand the outcome of it, you know?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, that's one big rough thing to get through verbal abuse. I withstood some of that as a child, and so that's how Uncle Rufus came about.
Well, that's what I was just like, hey, you took him right. He was on the tip of my tongue. Let's talk about Uncle Rufus real quick. So how did you come up with the concept of Uncle Rufus?
Well, I was actually in my room, and I have this nice plaid jacket, and I didn't know what I would wear it with. I was like, you know, nice Ashley Stewart jacket, and I was like, I have nothing to wear with this plaid jacket. It kind of looked like a men jacket, like something my dad used to wear when you know,
back
used
in
to
the
go,
70s.
Yeah, back in
doing
the 70s.
Disco.
Yeah. You crazy. You're so crazy. Yes, exactly. My dad would wear the plaid jackets with the big collar and stuff. And I was like, man, what if I played a man character? And I was like, can I do it? I was like, yeah, I might as well. You know, Tyler plays Madea. Steve Harvey plays Cora. You know, Eddie Murphy plays whoever.
Respucia.
A bunch of clumps.
Yeah,
right?
A bunch of clumps. Respucia.
Respucia. Martin Lawrence, you know, he plays Big Mama. And Brandon T. Jackson played his niece. And shout out to Brandon T. Jackson, our friend, and Chantel Jackson, my social media marketing rep, you know.
Okay.
So anyways, I really, 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 really just, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try to see what that character I can come up with.
Yes.
And I started drawing on a beard and all this stuff, and I started making the videos. It's under Brother Rutherford on YouTube. So, but,
all the new ones gonna be Uncle Rufus, right?
Yeah.
I'm loving that Uncle Rufus.
Uncle Rufus is a little different from Rutherford. Is, you know, rough on the edges. If you thought he was funny, Uncle Rufus takes it to a whole nother level.
Give
a, you know, we're Uncle Rufus is a different character.
Well, guess what? We're about to we're close to the end of the show.
Okay.
And so if you can, can I meet Uncle Rufus real quick?
Well, you know, if you want to meet me, I mean, you have to come with your Bible and everything. We're going to sit down. I'm a deacon in training. And so take what I say with the faith in the mustard seed or grain of salt, whatever, how you want to go do. I do what you say do. So, well, my thing is, I'm Lonnie's uncle, Uncle Rufus, and sometimes, you know, I have bouts with amnesia, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I just forget what I'm saying. I don't really have dementia, but that's what I call it sometimes, or whatever. But, you know, I do trying to give in research and help people with their dementia. So, anyway, I don't really focus on that. I'm not going to call it that no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm going in therapy about that.
And so I heard that in your past, you done sold dope and you was pimping in the day.
Oh, man, you know, I seen pimping and pandering with something I did in my past. So I'm on the way up. I'm going on up to the rough side of the mountain. Uncle Rufus, that's not a devotion song. No.
Well, guess what? We're looking forward to seeing Uncle Rufus. I believe Uncle Rufus is needed. We need that laughter. And who gonna keep him? Who gonna keep Uncle Rufus in line?
Lonnie comes on the show and she's like, you know, like she's like, that's not a devotion song. So it might be a gospel song. But it's not something they sing. Like he'll come out, he'll do his intro, and then he'll do a devotion song. She has to keep him on track to say the right things. He say a lot of wrong stuff because he's a deacon in training. He hasn't really made it yet. You know, he's trying to become a deacon. So you have to know that he's not going to do everything the way the Bible say or nothing like that. He's not real religious, but he tried his best. You know, so she has to keep him in line on topic. You know, but he speaks some very interesting, true stuff, and you know, and it's funny.
Well, you know, I want to give applause for Rufus, Uncle Rufus.
Oh, thank you kindly. Yes, you know, because I need the people to clap for me because, you know, my daddy didn't really clap for me like that. And, you know, he look at me in the face and say, Rufus, are you stupid? This is not Jesus. I thought I was a genius.
Uncle yeah. Rufus, you are something else. And so I'm excited about what Uncle Rufus is about to do. He's going to be coming on Bashani Radio.
That's awesome. Yes. I'm excited about it. Man, it's going to be a big thing, big movement.
Exactly,
you know,
yes.
I hope it's going to be, I hope it will make people laugh on a day when they feel like, you know, they can't make it anymore. You know, they messed up in life and they feel like they can't turn it around and say, you know what? I'm going to laugh this off. I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to wipe myself off. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to try again.
That's right.
You know, that's what Rufus is about. You know, new beginnings. Used to be a pimp. Now he on the way up.
That's right.
Doing the rough side of the
Well, Lonnie, I want to thank you so much for coming on. You have been an inspiration.
Thank you.
And
you too.
And just seeing how you are taking your creativity, you've taken your creativity and you are developing a character that's going to definitely bring laughter, bring real talk, and real issues to the world.
Thank you.
And so I'm looking forward to seeing Uncle Rufus on Bashani Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm excited too. Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. Yes. It's great. It's amazing. Doing amazing things.
Yes, yeah, so we want to give you applause.
Hey.
And so, thank you so much for coming on. And how can they get in contact with you?
Well, you can always email me at lonniehadden@outlook.com. That's LonniHadden at outlook.com. You can also reach me on Facebook under Lonnie Hadden, LonniHadden. Now, Dedrick Hadden is O-N, mine is E-N. And okay, I'm also on YouTube and Instagram.
So, no relations with
Dedrick. No relationship with No relations, not relationship, not a relationship. He has a woman.
That's right. He's married,
yeah,
right?
We're not related. We're not related at all. But I love Dedrick Hadden.
Hey, similar sound to last name, different plantation.
Yeah, you are so silly. Oh my God, I'm really enjoying myself. I'm glad you invited me on here. Yeah, this absolutely. Is amazing. Yeah.
Well, definitely, I want to thank you for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, you have got it from the first, one and only, Kilati Hadden. And I'm here to tell you that she is making some serious moves. And so I'm excited that you came on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know how you get in contact with me. I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. The Fearless Coach. You can text me at 5885 right, RIGHT. That's right, you text right, RIGHT. Because when it comes to getting your business right, making the right power moves, meeting the right people, and being in the right environment, this is the place to do it. And these are the people who are doing the things that can influence you and impact you to do better, be better, and be greater. And guess what? God loves you. I love you. And there's nothing you can do about it.
100% owned and operated by Shawnee Radio App. They said we couldn't do it, and we did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Kaboom! Kaboom.